Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. My guest today has written several books, including The Handbook on the Powers That Should Not Be. He runs and curates the website literaltruth.com, and he's also the co-host for the United by Truth podcast. Please welcome John Literal.
Hello, Kilgore.
How are you, John? I'm doing well. It's great to see you face to face. I know we've been interacting for months and months over this past year online and on Facebook, but it's nice to actually see you face to face.
Yes, it's an honor to be on here to speak with you. I've been following what you've been doing here this past year since all this craziness has started, and been really impressed with your efforts and why I'm wearing the shirt.
I have to say, yeah, that's a pretty sweet shirt. For everyone out there listening or watching, John is rocking one of the I Do Not Comply COVID Tyranny t-shirts that we sell on our website. So yeah, thank you, John, for supporting the cause and rocking the sweet swag there.
My pleasure. I wear it with pride.
Oh, go ahead.
I wear it with pride. It's one of those that people know where you stand when you wear it.
Absolutely. I'll tell you now, it's just with the mask. I mean, it's getting a little bit harder now that so many people have taken these experimental injections. And now I think some of them are ditching their mask. But just seeing the mask on somebody, you know exactly where they stand and how much they're buying into the farce. Especially when I'm still seeing these people driving around in their cars by themselves with the mask on. I don't feel like they're ever going to abandon it. Will it ever end?
No, they've obviously normalized it with most of the population now. And yeah, it's sad. I see people walking down the sidewalks all by themselves with a mask on in a, beautiful sunny day. And yeah, it's a shame. There's times when you feel very encouraged that there's an awakening, and then all of a sudden you see, something like that, and it's kind of a reality check. Yeah.
Well, so you've been researching and writing books about this global cabal, about a powerful small minority that really is pulling the strings, running things from behind the curtain, and that's what your most recent book is about, right? Could you tell us about that and tell us how that ties in to this past year of COVID insanity and authoritarianism?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been researching about this. I had my red pill moment about 6 years ago when I started researching 9/11, when I started to question the official narrative, and it completely changed my worldview. And so that sent me on a journey of research, and I wanted to know more about who was behind it and, the reasons and stuff like that. So, over time, just doing intense, serious research, I really didn't plan on writing a book or anything about it. But once this whole fake pandemic started, that, I realized, I'm going to have to do something. And I started off trying to speak out on social media and try to get people to understand. And then as people started little by little waking up and, realizing something's not right in the world, I wanted to provide answers to those people about, what's really going on, who's really behind it. I think, a lot of people, they know something's not right, but, they think it's either, it's either the Democrats that's, doing it, or they think it's the Republicans doing it. And, so I wanted to try to help people to see where this is really coming from. So that's really what motivated me to write it. And I wanted to write it in a way to where, somebody that's just new to this concept can easily grasp it. So I tried to make it concise. It's 100 pages, but I cover a lot of different things about this cabal. And I write about, how they're structured, some of their techniques like false flags and divide and conquer. And then tried to provide some ideas on, you know, what we can do about it to throw a monkey wrench into this New World Order agenda. So that's pretty well how the book's laid out. I start off with talking about this, you know, it's just a, really when you look at the Earth and the population, the ones that are really behind all this is very small in number. And they're structured in a certain way. You know, they, you know, the agenda set from the shadows, passed through the secret societies, secret organizations. And then, you know, that's all interconnected with governments and politicians. And, you know, and then that agenda gets passed on to the public through legislation. So I lay it out like that in the book.
Very interesting. And yeah, that's, you know, I think it's astonishing how people can't, so many of the normies can't wrap their mind around that their that power has concentrated into the hands of a few and an elite few, and that they have an agenda, and that agenda does not have our best interest. Yeah. I find it just boggles the mind that, because it's not even about you know, a real conspiracy. If you just look at where we are with global capitalism, in its trajectory, it's just money kept concentrating, wealth and power concentrated and concentrated. We saw this just with the, you know, the rise of big oil with John D. Rockefeller and Standard Oil and him becoming the first billionaire in America. And then you see it now with the media monopolies, where there's, you know, five or six companies controlling all the media for the world that the world consumes. So yep. It just boggles the mind that so many of the normies out there just can't fathom that these, you know, the 1%, this elite billionaire class is influencing things and on a global scale, on the global stage, and their plan for us is not the plan that we would like. They don't have our best interest. Their plan is complete control, which is what I think this past year has been about, what COVID is about population control. Whether it's population control through that, through the needle injecting you, or through the digital control platform of the vaccine passports, of having to show your papers to travel, to shop, to go to a concert, so forth, to get a medical treatment.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I often say that, you know, this whole COVID scam has been the Trojan horse to usher in the New World Order. You know, it's, and you look at the control that they've been able to accomplish, you know, in a short amount of time, to be able to lock down the whole world and cause, you know, every, you know, so many people to lose their livelihoods and stuff. And I think a lot of people, there's a lot of people that wouldn't have even considered that there is a, you know, a shadow government that is controlling things behind the scenes. But since all this started, I think more people are open to that now.
Well, you touched a little bit on the kind of left-right paradigm. And the one thing that I know you and I have kind of discussed online is QAnon and Trump and how, you know, you talk about the shadow government. I mean, Trump was, he made deep state, the deep state, part of the vernacular of pop culture, of mainstream. He made, you know, just that term a mainstream term. What do you make of that? Was he really genuinely trying to shine light on it? And was he in the people's corner and trying to drain the swamp? What is your opinion on that?
Yeah, I think that's part of the psyop. I think, you know, there for a while, I wasn't sure whether he was really in on it. You know, I didn't know whether he was just basically a useful idiot or whether he was in on it. But as time has gone on, and I am becoming more convinced that he's more in on it than what a lot of people think. I think he knows. And, you know, I think that's all part of the psyop, because a lot of people were starting, before Trump came along, a lot of people were starting to gravitate away from the left-right paradigm to some extent. You know, you saw the support for Bernie Sanders from the left, and then people on the right, they were getting tired of the Republicans as well. And I think Donald Trump was probably the perfect person to put in there And with, you know, what he was saying and what he was pushing, I think he got a lot of those people convinced that he was against the establishment. And I think, you know, looking at it now, to me, I think he's anything but against the establishment. And that's, you know, that's pretty well the conclusion I've come up with.
Yeah, you know, Anomaly said Podesta didn't get locked up. Hillary didn't get locked up. We got locked up. And I don't think any of the last year of with the COVID shut lockdown, I don't think that could have happened under Obama or definitely not under Clinton. I think people, the right would have instantly rebelled against that. There would have been instant revolt. It wouldn't have just been pockets and, you know, Orange County or at the Michigan Capitol building. It would have been the whole, you know, the every libertarian, every conservative, every freedom-minded person. But people were pacified because they thought that this guy, Commander-in-Chief, had their back. You know, it was their guy that was going to drain the swamp. But at the same time, he had Anthony Fauci leading his task force. He had Dr. Birx, from the Bilderberg group, part of that task force. So, yeah, I don't think any of this could have happened in America had it been under, you know, Clinton or Obama.
No, I think there most definitely would have been a revolution had Clinton been president and her trying to lock down the country and everything. You know, I even mentioned this earlier in a podcast I did this morning, and also something that I repeat from time to time, that Trump is basically a patriot appeasement program. So in other words, the people that would have normally pushed back against what's going on today didn't, because Trump was, you know, the puppet in charge. And, you know, if it had it been Clinton, there would have been an uprising big time in America. But with him in there, and I still see it today, and it drives me crazy, because his supporters, I can tell them all the different ways that Trump has sold them out. And even use his own words, showing them, you know, videos of him saying things. And it's just like they either don't listen. Every time I have a video where I talk about this, I'll lose a few subscribers, you know, just because I'm talking about their man. But he's done so many things to sell out his people. You know, just looking at the lockdown, he locked the country down. Like you said, he kept Anthony Fauci around. He could have got rid of him.
Well, to play devil's advocate, I know the Trump supporters that are still hanging on would say, well, he didn't lock down the country. It was left to the states, and it was the governors, and especially the, you know, more progressive, quote unquote, Democrat governors that locked down the most stringently, most strictly.
But when you look and see what Trump did, him and his administration, he gave all these governors billions of dollars to go along with the COVID pandemic narrative. And so, you know, they were basically bribed to, you know, to lock things down. And he gave them tons and tons of money.
And they're still getting bribed. To this day, they're getting bribed to keep perpetuating this state of emergency, this fake state of emergency.
Yeah, he's even the one that him and his administration is the one that gave the massive financial incentive to hospitals to diagnose people with COVID and relabel things like pneumonia and other respiratory problems, and to relabel that as COVID. So, you know, when they would normally get like, what, $3,000 for a pneumonia diagnosis, they would get, I think it was $13,000 if they call it COVID, and then $39,000 to put them on a ventilator. So that came from Trump. So, you know, that's another way that, and, you know, you mentioned that kind of stuff to Trump supporters, and they either just won't listen, or they just pretend they didn't hear you. And also, his, comments on gun control. I even posted this, in a video, and used his own words that, you know, he was talking about taking the guns first and then skip due process. And
well, he did support red flag laws, right? That he was in favor, to my understanding, of red flag laws, like mental background checks, things like that, assessing people's, you know, mental state, and then being able to seize people's guns based upon that.
Yeah.
That was my understanding of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. He's the first American president to ever use an executive order for a gun control law. You know, that was the bump stocks. But he, you know, people get mad at conservatives get mad at Joe Biden for using executive orders for gun control. But, you know, he learned that one from Trump. You know, so that's another, you know, and that's something that I think conservatives should be very alarmed and concerned about, you know.
I think it was a great, he was the great divider, and he really broke the left's brains. You know, I've really been on the left most of my life, but now what that means has changed drastically. But, you know, the left, in a lot of ways, they were the ones in the 90s fighting against censorship. Now the left have become authoritarians that want to censor anyone that is not lockstep in line with the mainstream narrative. Anybody that's not lockstep with, you know, wokeness or the social justice narrative, they just want them destroyed. Not even just deplatformed, but, you know, they want their careers ruined, their families destroyed. They've just become a very vengeful, vindictive, authoritarian beast. But I think Trump played a major part in just breaking their brains, where it became this binary thing. Oh, if you're against the lockdown, if you're against the mask, you're automatically a Trumper. You're automatically a QAnon. It gave them this binary, you know, you're this or that, black and white world, you know, lens to see the world through.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, looking back on it, to me, it all, you know, the dots start connecting, you know, putting somebody in there that, you know, can divide the population, and, you know, the media campaign from the left, you know, to portray Donald Trump a certain way, to get the left to absolutely, totally hate his guts and despise him. But, you know, I dislike him myself, but it's for much different reasons. You know, it's not because the television told me to hate him. You know, I try to present logical reasons, you know, to why, you know, I'm anti-Trump. It's quite a bit different than what the left does. But
yeah, I'd like to see an American presidential race where our options aren't two millionaires or two billionaires. That's what I would like to see. I would like to see somebody that actually represents the people. But I also don't put a very much stock into the electoral process at this point, especially on the federal level. Yeah. I feel like if we could really create change that way, it would be illegal. And the United States government has intervened and has disrupted democratically elected regimes in other countries. They've overthrown, assassinated, removed democratically elected presidents in other countries. Why would they allow us to actually cast our ballot and it be counted?
Exactly. Yeah,
it's an illusion of choice, in my opinion.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, it's they're both controlled. You know, when you look at, they make sure it doesn't matter who's on the left or who's on the right. They make sure that they put their man in there, the ones, you know, behind the scenes that are pulling the strings. And I think the 2004 election was probably the perfect example, having two Skull and Bones members, George Bush and John Kerry, as the finalist for president. You know, so they make sure that you know, you don't get into that position without you know, either being compromised, being bought. You belong to them, is, you know.
I mean, yeah, you bring up 2004. I was very active in the anti-war, anti-George Bush movement. Anti-Patriot Act. I mean, it was, and there's a lot of the same players involved in the COVID scam. You got to love that the guy that oversaw the 9/11 commission has just been appointed to oversee how the COVID pandemic was handled.
Yeah, Philip Zelikow. Yeah. When I saw that, it didn't surprise me. I knew that they were going to, you know, reuse the same people that, you know, covered up 9/11. I know it was a matter of time.
And in 2004, I mean, well, the past year has just been a testament to how powerful the media apparatus is. That people, in my opinion, there's been no pandemic. This past year has been a giant scam. There was no mass graves. We didn't see bodies being taken out from our neighbors' homes. We didn't see the hospitals overrun. You know, at the peak of it, one of my friends, whose wife is she's a nurse, her contract ended in March of 2020, right as the pandemic was starting, and it was, you know, it was a bloodbath. According to the mainstream media, her contract ended at the hospital she worked at, and she assumed, of course, they're going to renew it because this is the deadliest pandemic for the past 100 years. They're going to need all hands on deck. No, they were so slow, they'd canceled all the elective surgeries, and they were waiting to be hit with this, you know, tide of COVID patients. They didn't renew her contract, and she spent all of April 2020 out of work. A nurse with a very impressive resume, she had to work with a recruiter to get a job as a nurse in April 2020 in the United States, in a major metropolitan city. She was in Los Angeles. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then I heard more and more reports of, you know, hospital workers, nurses, doctors being furloughed. That's not what you do in a pandemic when we're living in contagion. But people, through the mainstream media's deception, they believe this Hollywood production more than they believe their own two eyes.
I know. That shows I knew the media was powerful, but I didn't give it as much credit as I should have, because this year has been a wake-up call for me when it comes to the power of the media. And, you know, just, I don't know, it's definitely mind control. And if people
I thought the legacy media was dying. You know, I thought it was losing its grip. Yeah. I didn't think there were, especially when it came to like millennials. I wasn't thinking that millennials are, you know, watching ABC, but you know, they're reading BuzzFeed, and they're getting their news from Vox. And these things have just become, they're carrying on the legacy of Operation Mockingbird.
Operation Mockingbird on steroids. Yeah.
Could you tell our audience a little bit about Operation Mockingbird for anybody that might be listening that's not familiar?
Yeah, that was back in the 70s when it was exposed that the CIA was working with the mainstream media, you know, to put out propaganda. And, you know, a person can just, it's easy to find online, but, you know, it's hard to get people to even be open to hear about it, because that's not something you learn in government school, you know. And so that's pretty well what you see on news, is you're listening to the CIA basically, and it's a weaponized narrative. You know, you control people's perception, and you can control their behavior, and you know, so,
and we've, you know, certainly seen that over the past year.
Yeah, it's a weapon. It's a weapon. It's so powerful. It's more powerful than nuclear weapons, because, you know, when you look and see all the people that has bought into this fake pandemic, and still, so, you know, the majority, and, you know, the way I see it, still most people are going along with it and believe it. And that could not have happened without the television.
Yeah, people wouldn't have been aware of it. You know, like during the 1918 pandemic, things didn't shut down. Yeah. You know, they shut down a few dance halls. There were some cities like San Francisco that did a mask mandates, but 10,000 people or more, you know, protested them. They didn't keep people in this constant state of fear, because the media apparatus wasn't what it is now, where people are glued to their screens all, you know, 24/7, and their feed. And it all came, they knew the right time to pull the trigger, but people were already so divided with Trump, and then social media had pushed everybody into tribes. You know, it basically this kind of social tribalism, and everyone's stuck in their little echo chambers, and more divided than ever. And then, of course, you know, the cultural Marxism and the whole SJW woke narrative that cancel culture is basically, it's just authoritarianism and culture. It's you can paint somebody as a racist, paint them as a misogynist or so forth, and you can just cancel them, destroy their, take away their platform, take away their voice, and stifle any kind of debate. And I think that that trickled over into science. You couldn't debate all, you know, all the dissenting scientists and doctors. They were just canceled. And they were, they've been brought, like Scott Jensen in Minnesota, brought before the board, where they tried to revoke his medical license several times. Dr. John Ioannidis from Stanford, they've just smeared him in the press. Same with Dr. Bhattacharya, very seemingly just moderates. But anybody that doesn't fall lockstep in line, they're in the crosshairs.
Yeah.
So what do you, now that, you know, the vaccination campaign is in full force, they are bribing people with everything from donuts, French fries, hot dogs, all these healthy things, right? Because it's all about health. Yeah. But now they're even, you know, governors like Cuomo and DeWine are offering lottery tickets for millions of dollars. You could be the lucky winner of millions of dollars if you survive this experimental gene altering injection.
Yeah, I know. For a virus that, the perception of a virus anyway, even with their own numbers, it's got a survival rate that's, you know, almost 100%, 99 point whatever the percent is. And they're going to that extreme to get people vaccinated for that. Anybody that's thinking critically can see that something's not right about that.
The fastest vaccine that's ever been developed in the history of science.
Yeah.
And a campaign to vaccinate every person, even though children have no risk of dying from it. Like statistically, children 18 and under have the same likelihood of being struck by lightning and dying from the lightning strike that as they do of catching COVID. The whole myth of the asymptomatic spread, which is just nonsense, and even Fauci and one of the top execs at the WHO said the asymptomatic carriers are never the drivers of a pandemic, because it just makes no sense. If you're not sneezing, you're not drooling and coughing, how are you getting these particles to somebody else to infect them?
That's just the power of the propaganda. People believe what the television's told them. And, those types of people, if they're still holding on to that narrative, I don't see much hope for them. I don't think they'll wake up.
Well, now that we have colleges that are mandating the vaccine, we have employers. I just heard that some local grocery stores here in Georgia, I'm not sure 100% haven't confirmed this, but I've heard that they're telling their employees they can show proof of vaccination, they can take their masks off. So if you go in there and you see a clerk or a stock person that has their mask off, that means they had to show their vaccination records to management to be able to breathe freely. I mean, it's nonsense. Yeah. I mean, lawsuits have to be filed all across the board. The mainstream media, of course, is saying, oh, HIPAA doesn't apply. OSHA doesn't apply. None of these things. You have no rights. You have to take this injection, which, of course, they say I do not comply, and people need to push back. And if anybody's out there listening, you find yourself in a situation like that, one, you need to connect with a few like-minded people at your place of work, because there's strength in numbers. And really, if, you know, say a grocery store like Publix, if you have 50 employees or 70 employees, and 40 of them have not been vaccinated, and they say, you know what, we're not going to wear the mask anymore. What are they going to do? Are they going to lose almost 50% of their staff? Now's the time to push back on every front that we can. I see this. I attended school board meetings here in Georgia last week, and you know, stood in support and in solidarity with all these parents that are tired of sending their children to public school where they have to wear a mask and be in a plexiglass cubicle all day and be treated as this diseased plague rat. And it's, you know, it's traumatizing them psychologically. We have no idea what the long-term physiological effects of wearing a mask are. You know, and of course the normies will go, but surgeons have been wearing masks for years and they don't get sick. And it's like, yes, okay, for the millionth time, surgeons will wear masks in a climate-controlled environment, in a sterile environment, and they're wearing a mask for no longer than 2 hours. They have somebody else, a nurse, putting the mask on them and taking it off. And it's only to keep, you know, them from infecting an open wound. And even there's been studies to show that maybe that's not even that helpful in doing. But wearing a child whose lungs are still developing and they're wearing a piece of cloth strapped to their face, covering their airways for 8 hours a day, where they have to take, you know, free breathing. They have to take mask breaks to go out to actually get air. I mean, it is lunacy. This is full on dystopia. And it's child abuse.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. It makes my blood boil. If my son was in school, he's grown up now, but if he was in school, I would most definitely pull him out. There's no way I would be having him wear a mask 8 hours a day. And, you know, and then on top of that, they're having to rub hand sanitizer on their hands like every 5 minutes. And there's cancer-causing chemicals in that as well. So, you know, you not only have the hypoxia from the mask, you know, restricting your oxygen and then breathing in your own carbon dioxide, then recycling your own bacterial and viral loads. And then, you know, your saliva also plays a part in your digestion. It plays a part in breaking down your food. It's one of the beginning processes. And then you have that saliva that's on those toxic chemicals that the mask is made out of. And you know that that's breaking that down to some extent and getting into your system. I mean, this is a full-blown attack on our children and on humanity.
100%. 100%. And I do marvel at just how hurtable and malleable the masses are. You know, I always knew they were, but to this extent where you are now considered extremists because we believe in pre-March 2020 science. All of science leading up to March 13th, 2020, that said, you know, you want to build a healthy immune system. You want to let your kids play out in the dirt. You want them to have a healthy, microbiome. And now it's people, they've indoctrinated people into a paranoid totalitarian cult.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's exactly what it is. And I think there's power when we call it out for what it is. It is a cult, and that's what they are. They're paranoid. It's inhuman. It's totalitarian. They have their sacrament, which is their vaccine. They have their vestment, which is their mask. They have their high priests like Fauci and Bill Gates. And they have their Vatican, which is the CDC or the WHO.
Yeah, perfectly said. Excellent. Yeah, you talk to these people, and it is, you're just, it's like talking to, you know, cult members. And no matter what evidence you show them, no matter what kind of proof, they're either blinded to it or they just completely zone you out, or they get very, very angry and very intolerant. They don't want to listen. So yeah, it's crazy.
As we're seeing the vax passports get rolled out. We know the New York already has the Excelsior pass. Actually, later this week, I'm going to have a couple activists from from New York speak about the work that they're doing there and challenging that. But my understanding is this Excelsior Pass, you need it to go to a Yankees game, a Mets game, go to eventually when Broadway opens up, you're going to need, you know, in it, you have to verify your vaccination status through these digital apps. This is, in my opinion, the precursor to put us onto the CCP social credit system. It gets everybody onto this digital platform. So that's the population control through that. You know, whether or not we already know that these experimental injections are killing people. We know that they've killed more people than all the other vaccines combined over the past 15 years, just in these 4 or 5 months. So we know there are side effects, and there's severe side effects, and death is one of them. But you know, even I know there's theories that there's going to be pathogenic priming. There's where the spike proteins that have now embedded themselves in all the cells and the organs of the people that have been injected, when they get exposed to a coronavirus, and it doesn't necessarily have to be this coronavirus, but any of the coronaviruses, which there's multiple, and we've lived in harmony with them for thousands and thousands of years, when they come in contact with that, their body will actually destroy itself. It will attack itself the same way that all the ferrets in the SARS vaccine trials died as a result of this, of the pathogenic priming. So there's the theory that once flu and cold season comes back around, entering the fall and winter, we could potentially see a lot of death, a lot of a real mass casualty event as a result of it. But even if that doesn't happen, there is still the control of these vaccine passports, of this normalizing that corporations and schools can, and governments can require you to show proof of a medical procedure, a medical status, to shop, to work, to travel. I mean, your thoughts on that, your thoughts on is it going to take hold, or do you think people are going to push back? How do we push back? And what do you think the next 6 months looks like for us?
Yeah, well, this is definitely where we're at the crossroads right now. We can either go one way or the other. If we if people stand up now, and it doesn't take the majority, because that's never going to happen, and the world's never been changed by the majority anyway, it's going to take a remnant of people to summon up the courage to stand up and say, no, we're not doing it, and stand firm in that. And it's, you know, it's going to be a scary process, because a lot of people, their livelihoods are going to be threatened based on whether they get that or not. So, but if we don't, if this goes through, then we're going to see things that we never dreamed we'd ever see take place. It's going to be on top of the control that this is going to give them to control every aspect of our lives. You know, it's going to be genocide on top of it. And, you know, when you look at, you're talking about the problems with the vaccines, that the side effects, there's been more deaths and injuries to this vaccine within the last 3 or 4 months than, you know, I know at least the last 11 years. I think it's more. That's the last time I looked at the stats, but it's probably even more now. But and that's right out of the gate. We haven't even seen anything that's any kind of long-term effects, or like what you were talking about where the immune system's not going to protect you against just the common cold or the flu in flu season. So, I mean, this is just right out of the gate, people dropping dead from, you know, blood clots and everything else, you know, heart attacks. It's been causing heart attacks and that's just what's been reported. Can you imagine what the actual stats are that haven't even been reported on the on the side effects, the deaths, and the, you know, severe reactions?
Right. Yeah. It's just that it's the tip of an iceberg of casualties right now and side effects. And it is so unconscionable that these companies, these schools, especially like universities, where they're requiring these experimental injections that only have emergency use authorization. They won't be fully FDA approved until 2023, I believe. That they are requiring them for a population that has, like we spoke, like we said earlier, has virtually no risk. It is, they have the same risk of being struck by lightning. And even extending that to people 65 and under, you have the same chance of dying in a car crash as you do of catching COVID and dying from it. If you drive more than 30 miles a day in a car, you have the same likelihood, the same risk of dying of COVID. So the fact that anybody really would be signing up to take the shot, it's once again a testament to this multi-billion dollar PR campaign. I mean, I've never seen anything more pervasive. It's everywhere. I mean, they took the fear of COVID and then they just morphed that into this PR campaign where everything, every celebrity, every spokesperson, is promoting it. And then even, you know, Joe Normie is posting his picture on Instagram saying, I got my shot. I did my part. It is beyond creepy. It is beyond bizarro world. And every day I keep waiting for the Black Mirror episode to end.
I know. And that's the another alarming thing is the effort that they're putting out to get everybody vaccinated. Just, you know, all the money, all the effort, all, you know, bringing in all these different, you know, like celebrities, just they're going all out. And it's, you know, to me, it just looks like they're going for it. They're going for the end game. And, you know, they're not going to, you know, like a lot of times to get their agenda, to get the, you know, the world to go along with their agenda, they kind of have to do a little bit at a time. You know, they can't do too much all at once, but now they're going for it. And that's concerning because it's going to take a much bigger pushback from the people than what we've, you know, managed to do so far.
And, well, I will say there's been minor victories, and I like to kind of, you know, cherish those. From our experience with I Do Not Comply, we've had two music festivals that we put a lot of immense pressure on through email campaigns, social media campaigns, sending cease and desist letters. And we've had these music festivals alter their policy for attendance. One was in Topanga Canyon in California. One is coming here on June 12th to Douglasville, Georgia. Both of them were requiring proof of COVID vaccination to enter these outdoor music festivals or a negative test. And so we put enough pressure on them that they backed down. They just said, oh, it's not worth it. You know, we'll get rid of that. We'll do the temperature scan. We'll ask people to wear a mask, but we're not going to ask for vaccinations proof. So we've got to be constantly pushing back. After the school board meeting at Gwinnett County earlier this week, the next day, Gwinnett County issued a statement saying, and I don't think this applies to the school yet, but they issued a statement saying all of their county buildings will no longer have a mask mandate. And it was literally the day after. We're suing, my organization is suing the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, over his executive orders, his COVID executive orders, and challenging the constitutionality of them. And the day after we filed, we saw him make announcements saying, "Okay, I'm rolling back. I'm gonna roll back some of these orders and make them less restrictive and open Georgia even more." So it's like I liken it to a schoolyard bully. They're gonna keep taking advantage of you. They're gonna keep pushing you around, taking your lunch money, then taking your book bag, stealing your coat. It just won't stop until you stand your ground and you push back. And you're right. This is the end game now with this mass vaccination effort, with the vaccine passports rolling out, with these employers coercing people. They're basically saying, oh, you don't get to take your mask off unless you get the shot. Or you're going to have to be tested 3 times a week unless you get the shot. Or you'll have to, if you're a student in a public school, you have to do a healthy quarantine. Meaning if you came in, you know, exposed to somebody that may have had COVID, you have to stay home for 2 weeks. and your parents have to somehow, you know, accommodate that. Now is the time. This is the end game. And if we don't stop this, if we let these things take a hold, it is the end. It's the last embers of liberty that'll be stomped out. Because once that structure is in place and you have to scan your QR code tied to all your medical records to go shop, to travel, once that's in place, it's never going down. Just the same way that we saw the security measures post 9/11 and the Patriot Act. You know, we were sold that it was going to be temporary till this terrorist threat was dealt with. But here we are 20 years later, they're still all in place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and a lot of that stuff was Homeland Security and a lot of this stuff that they passed through end up, it's, you know, they're starting to use some of that stuff now. And, you know, I think they had this in mind. I think this has been a plan that they've had for decades, and the time's come to unroll it, and they've set the groundwork for it, and they've got so many things in place. And that's another thing that concerns me is they're a lot further ahead of us. You know, they've caught a lot of people flat-footed, and people are starting now to respond to what's happened. But they've done everything from running simulations over the years on, you know, how to do exactly what they're doing now. And they have run these simulations. They know what our responses are going to be before we even do it. So, you know, it's one of those things. It's great. It's very encouraging to see people like yourself going out there and doing the work. And, you know, now what we need are we need the people that know what's going on. We need them to summon the courage to start standing up and speaking out against this, because a lot of people, they're just afraid. You know, they're scared of what other people's opinions are. They're worried that people are going to, you know, frown at them or, you know, call them a conspiracy theorist. And, people need to get over that, and those that know that what's going on is wrong, it's time now to take action. You know, we don't have any more time to wait on these, you know, for people to, you know, to just sit back and watch and hope, you know, it doesn't happen, because it's going to happen if they don't do something about it.
100%. And yeah, I think they're testing us with each of these things, just like the music festival saying, we're going to require proof of vaccination. And then you push back and then they alter it. You got to keep going after each of these companies. And it's hard, and because, you know, it's like you get one and you feel a small victory, and then there's like a million others that you have to, you know, it's like this multi-headed hydra. You cut off one head and then you're like, there's another million heads coming at you with their fangs and venom. But you know, you talked about simulations. One of the most notable, of course, that happened a little over about a month before the first known case of COVID, Event 201.
Yeah.
If anybody is not familiar with that, I'm sure everybody that listens to this or will see this is. But if you're not, just Google, research Event 201. This was a coronavirus pandemic simulation carried out in October 2019. A month before now the first known case of COVID in China, and it was sponsored by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Johns Hopkins Center for Cyber Health Security, and the Rockefeller Foundation.
Yep.
And it's very telling, because they have this this one former, he's a military officer, but he served with the CDC, and I think his last name is Red, but he talks about it's not Redfield, not the weird fat old Abraham Lincoln looking dude. His name's like Admiral Red. And he talks about they have to assume a war footing, you know, it was a psychological war. It was rolled out like a war. All the language is war and prison language. Lockdown is something you say to prisoners when there's a prison riot. You're under lockdown. You know, everyone get on the floor, stay in your cells. And it's after a year of not seeing bodies piled up in the street and not see any real proof of this pandemic. I'm just, it's, amazes me that people are still drinking the Kool-Aid. Sadly, I feel like it's too late for a lot of them because, you know, they've already been injected with this biological agent. We have no idea, like you said, what the long-term effects of it are going to be. We already know there's been devastating effects short-term for many people. I just anecdotally firsthand, I know someone that got it and died within 10 days, went to bed. He was a healthy 40 something guy, left behind, you know, widowed, left a widow and two kids behind, went to sleep and never woke up.
Oh, wow.
Completely healthy. And I, you know people that have been driven to suicide and deaths of despair and opioid overdoses during this past year of lockdown where they were cut off from their loved ones. And they were trying to do the right thing. They were trying to avoid everyone and they stay away from their social networks. You know, I think some of us that have seen through the charade, we're in a more mentally healthy place because I haven't stopped embracing people. I've been building networks through our organization. We just had a gathering yesterday. We kind of merged with the Peggy Hall's The Healthy American group. And so we do a monthly meetup and they just grow. You know, we're getting up to like 50 people coming to these things and having our own agorist markets where we can barter and trade because we're trying to set up those networks of support now. Because if the enemy does win and we get cut out of their technocratic society, we're going to be able to support one another. And that's what I urge people to do is now is the time. I mean, it's beyond the time, and definitely now there's no time to wait. Is you have to connect with people locally. You have to find at least a handful of people that you're going to have your back that you can depend upon if things keep moving forward, if the enemy's agenda does take a hold.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something I need to personally myself. I need to start trying to network with some people locally that are of like mind. And I haven't really done that because, you know, it may come to a point where we have our own separate society, you know, outside of this New World Order Great Reset that the rest of the world is going to be under. So, yeah.
Even their essays and white papers, you know, and I always refer to this essay written by a member of the United Nations entitled "Welcome to 2030," where you own nothing, have no privacy, and you've never been happier, right? Which we see that you're going to be happy and you're going to own nothing. We see Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum telling us this. This is their goal, and it's in 9 years from now. Right? That's their target goal in 9 years, no private property, no privacy. But even in that essay, they talk about, the person who it's written from their perspective. And they say, I sometimes think about those that we left behind that now live in these 19th century style villages because the technology got too much for them. So even they theorize that they're not going to be able to eradicate all the dissenters and all the people that want to stay human, that don't want to have, you know, a nanobot injection or transhuman injection every 6 months or 3 months or whatever what big pharma and the governments decide you're going to need to get injected. The enemy theorizes, they see that they're not going to be able to stop all the dissenters. We may just have to start our own society and live outside of the constraints of this technocratic, prison panopticon that they're erecting.
Yeah, I would most definitely love to get on board with anything like that. Good. I'm glad that that's something that they projected, because I, you know, if they don't take me out in the process, I hope to be a part of that society that they were projecting.
Well, hopefully it won't come to that. Hopefully we're still going to be able to. I'm not ready to throw in the towel, but it is definitely getting to the hour is late, and if we don't stop this, these vaccine passports and this digital population control grid, then we are going to be forced out of that society. Those of us that don't comply with that, won't consent to that way of life. I will say that, you know, we've set up 50 MeWe groups regionally, for one for each state in the United States, to help people connect with others locally. And I always like to direct people to that. And you can find those links through our website, idonotcomply.org. We have a tab called that's labeled Connect Locally. We've also added a new tab that is a religious exemption, that we have a letter of religious objection written by one of our pastor allies, and it quotes pages of scripture and ties that to objecting to these experimental vaccines. And so people can access that. They can download it from our website, idonotcomply.org. They can print it out. And I urge people out there, if you are being coerced by your employer, by your university, to use the exemptions that we have, which are medical and religious exemptions. And we, you know, whatever we can do to fight back and have any grounds to defend ourselves, we have to use it at this point.
Definitely.
John, where can people find your books? Where can people connect with you and learn more about your work?
Well, I've got a website called literaltruth.com, literal with two T's. It's a blog that I put up articles, videos on a daily basis, and also do what's called Super Truth Media. I put out a webpage every day where I bring all the alternative media voices, all the best ones, together, all in one place, so people have the latest news and information from all the great alternative independent media voices and videos and articles. So that I put that out every day on my website, literaltruth.com. Also, put out videos, and I've got video platform channels like BitChute and Brighteon and Odyssey, where I put out my videos. And, you know, I've been making videos almost every single day talking about something that's going on in the world. Usually it's, you know, what we're talking about now. And so on my website, you can find all my, you know, channels. And also my books are, you know, you can find them on Amazon. And my last book, Handbook on the Powers It Should Not Be, I put the price at the lowest that I can possibly do it. So I'm making hardly any royalties at all, because that's not, you know, that's not what I'm going for. But it's for $5.99. You can buy it in print or you can buy it in Kindle. It's free on my website. And also people can download, they can either read it on the website, or they can also download a free PDF. There's been, fortunately, there's been a lot of people download that free PDF. And so, you know, that's pretty well what how you can get a hold of my work. But I definitely, you know, I put a lot of work into my website, literaltruth.com. And so everybody can find all my other avenues, the outreach on that website.
Fantastic. Well, I urge everyone to go check out literaltruth.com with two T's and follow John Literal's work. John, we got a few more minutes here. I'm so tired of talking about COVID. Let's talk about aliens. Do aliens exist? Are aliens out there? Now there's this talk of, you know, the Pentagon has come out saying they've known about UFOs, and these, you know, naval pilots have seen them, and they move in extraterrestrial ways. And what's going on? What's your thoughts on that?
Well, as far as whether I believe that there are aliens, I've never seen one. I've never seen a UFO. But if I was a bet man, you know, looking out in outer space, I would assume that, yeah, there probably is. And but anytime I see the government and the media put out a narrative about anything, I usually don't believe it. I feel that there's some kind of agenda behind it. So that concerns me too. I at this point in time, I can see them doing something crazy, like faking an alien invasion, and in order to, you know, lock the country down and give them more control. I mean, you know, at this point in time, I don't question it. I don't think anything's impossible, especially coming from these psychopaths of government.
There are a lot of people that say that, you know, foresee that being the next giant psyop is an alien invasion, a hoax alien invasion.
Oh, yeah.
And like we've talked about, so many of the normies they'll just buy into the Hollywood production. That is the mainstream media narrative. They bought into this scandemic. So why not? Why won't they? They'll buy into little green men and flying saucers too. But I'm with you. It's a vast universe, and I'd like to believe that there is other life out there. I'm a huge Trekkie, so I hope, you know, one day, that's in all the predictions of the World Economic Forum when they put out that video on Twitter, their top 10 predictions of the world in 2030. And one, the only one that I liked, because they all suck. They're all like, Western values will be tested to their breaking points. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Everything will be delivered by drones. It's just this horrible dystopian transhumanist world. But the one thing is like, we'll finally go to Mars, or like we'll start settling Mars. And I was like, that's the one that I'll be okay with. And in fact, I'm ready to go now. You know, I'm ready to take the rocket to Mars and just let humanity figure this out. And I'll come back in a few years, see how it all got hashed out.
Yeah.
But John, thank you so much for joining me tonight. It's a pleasure speaking with you. And thank you to everyone listening and watching. Please consider making a donation to I Do Not Comply through our website at idonotcomply.org. We are raising money for our ongoing legal battle against the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, and challenging the constitutionality of his executive orders and trying to set a precedent that the state of Georgia can never be locked down again and that people's due process can never be violated and their constitutional rights can't be violated. So please consider going there and making a donation. This show now is broadcast on BitChute and Rumble, and you can follow us on all the podcast mediums for the time being until they censor us and deplatform us. But we're going to keep telling the truth and letting our voices be heard for as long as we can. Thank you all for listening. Thanks again, John. Everyone, stay brave out there. Stay fearless. Keep fighting the good fight. And I'm hopeful that humanity is going to persevere over these evil technocrats. So, see ya. Take care.
See you, Kilgore.